mountain. I bless him in the valley. I bless him when I'm going through something. I bless him when I'm not going through something. Why? Because he is worthy of our praise. And I'm going to tell you something about praise. And I know you all know, but praise, sometimes it'll shift things. And then sometimes it'll shift you. Sometimes when we don't feel like praising, that's when we praise the hardest. That's when we praise the most. Because it's not about us, it's about him. And we've all got a testimony of the goodness of God, because we're living, because we're breathing, because we've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. We've been cleansed, we've been washed, we've been redeemed, we've been restored, we've been made new. And so whatever I'm facing outside today, whatever things that I don't know how I'm going to make it, whatever things, today I choose, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as for me today, I'm going to lift up a praise unto Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I said, your face, O Lord, I will seek. God, let this be a generation of those that seek your face, a generation like Jacob, God, a generation, God, that says, King of glory, enter in, God. Oh, lift up your gates. Oh, lift up the doors. Let the King of glory enter in. Who can ascend the hill with except those with clean hands and a pure heart, God? God, we want to seek your face, God, before we seek your hand. God, we want you to show us your glory, God, not just today in our service, Lord, but show us your glory, God, in our homes. Show us your glory, God, in our situations, God. God, the word said, the song we're getting ready to sing talks about the names of God, and it's Yahweh. Yahweh means I am. Rapha means Jehovah, my healer. Elohim means all-powerful God, supreme creator God. El Shaddai means almighty God. Jireh means Jehovah Jireh, my Lord will provide. And Adonai means my master, my Lord. I don't know which of those names today that you need, but he is all of them. He is the great I am. He is Jehovah Jireh that will provide. He is Jehovah healer. He is the Lord my rock. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is the Lord our banner. So this morning, I just invite you, let's just sing out the names of God. Let's seek his face. There is power when we put the names of God in our mouth and we seek him with our praise in our mouth and our worships in our heart. So God, we seek you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Seek your face this morning, God. Jesus. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. This song is called What a God. What a God. What a God. What a God. And how he just finds us at our lowest place. How he finds us at our lowest place. You know, there's a little lie out there that says that it's just too much, it's too long, it's too far gone, it's too late for the sinner. And God says, no, it's not. No, it's not. I think that's my favorite part of the song. So I hope you'll sing this with us this morning if you know it.
And favor in your sight, I
thank God that we know that it's you that sends the fire, God, but God, that we'll bring ourselves, God, we'll bring our hearts, God, we'll bring an offering, God, we'll bring a sacrifice of praise, God. You'll provide the fire. That you will provide, God. God, that your word says, God, that I've been young and I've been old, God, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. God, I thank you, God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, my healer, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that your word is true, God, that you say, ask and agree, Lord, and it will be done. God, I thank you for my life, the testimonies of healing and miracles and restoration that I have, God, in my life, God. God, I thank you, God, that you are El Shaddai. God, I thank you, God, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, God. You are the faithful and true one, God. Your name is the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that your eyes are like fire. God, that your feet are like brass, God. We behold you right now, Lord, that your eyes are like fire, God, and your feet are like brass and your hair is like wool. And God, when you left, God, you left as a lamb that was slain. slain. But when you're coming back, God, you're coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, God. Help us to not forget, God, the God that we serve, that is seated at the right hand of the Father with all authority in heaven and earth that has been given to him, and that he is looking down and he is making intercession, and he is telling his church, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. But there's a work to be done before I get back. There's an occupying until I come. There's a territory that has to be taken until I get back. And we got to see the soul saved. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that your name is the name above every name. It is the name above everything, God, that we're facing. It is the name that is in heaven and earth and under the earth. It is above everything. And so, Jesus, we lift up your name this morning. We lift up the name that is above every name in heaven and earth and under the earth. And I thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in your people, in this church, God. We bless this church, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you, God, that you aren't done yet. You are not done yet. We praise you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for helping me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Got it. Is it working now? Anytime we go anywhere and are blessed to go anywhere, we just pray and we seek the Lord. And sometimes me and him don't even talk because we don't want to influence one another. We want to see where the Lord is leading. And both of us were led to Nehemiah. So we kind of go with the Lord and then we come back together, and then we were both led to Nehemiah. And you know, Nehemiah, if you know the story of Nehemiah, he had a burden from God to rebuild the walls of the ruined city of Jerusalem. So things were in ruins, and the people and Nehemiah both, they had to be dedicated to the work, because there was opposition that came, there was attack that came, there was resistance that came, there was persecution that came. And so if you want to go with me in the word, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we're going to be. I'll highlight a few key verses and summarize some as well. But Nehemiah, we can learn some things from Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah is powerful. Nehemiah both talked with God and walked with God, right? So he talked with God and then he did what God said to do. So we could say in our New Testament language that Nehemiah was a hearer of the word of God and a doer of the word of God. And so what does Matthew 7 tell us? Let's go there first. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. These are Jesus' words, and it's called Build on the Rock. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So hearer, doer, a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I want to testify to you all tonight and tell you, or today, and tell you, I've been both. I've been a foolish woman. I've been a wise woman. And sometimes in the Bible, you read some things in there and you're like, I think the Bible just called me a fool. And I need to be called a fool when the Bible tells me I'm a fool, right? So I can get back on the rock and I can do what he's told me to do. And so I have done, I don't know if you all have or not, but I have been a hearer only before. And when the storm comes, man, does the house fall. And then I've been a hearer and a doer. And when that storm comes, it's firmer. It doesn't move. It doesn't move. So Nehemiah was like this. He was a wise man. And here's the thing. The house built on a rock will stand. The wall that Nehemiah and them were called to build, it was finished.
They finished it. They finished the work. The opposition didn't stop the work, and it didn't knock the wall over. That's two important key things. The wall didn't get knocked over, and the work didn't stop either. The wall was built. But see, here's what you got to know, and I can testify to this because some of you know our testimony, but Travis and I have a testimony of a restored marriage. We had a broken marriage. We had a broken life. We had everything torn down. There was bitterness. There was anger. There was idolatry. There was just worldliness. There was addiction. And the house crumbled, y'all. The house crumbled. And the thing that I learned through that process is the enemy hates restoration. Anything that looks like it needs to be restored in your life, the enemy's going to try to resist it. But just like we see in Nehemiah, he can't stop it. He's just going to be loud. But he can't stop it if you are a wise man or woman like Nehemiah and you hear the word and do the word. You got to stay on the wall. We got to stay on the wall. But the enemy hates restoration, but he can't stop it when you are planted on the rock, which is Christ. He'll oppose anything that needs restoration. But here's the thing. It talks about the wall in Nehemiah being a great work. Resistance is often a sign that there's a great work. He don't want to see it finished. Oh, no. The wall is getting ready to go up. Oh, no. Their life's getting ready to be restored. Oh, no. They've come out of addiction. Oh, no. They're going to be a threat to my kingdom. Oh, no. Their marriage was nearly torn apart. They're going to be a beacon of hope for others to see that I can restore. Oh, no. They lost a son. They lost a daughter, and they're still standing. How are they still praising? They lost a grandbaby. How are they still praising? How are they still standing? How are they still standing firm? Because their houses are built on the rock. We've got to stay on the wall. And so the enemy cannot stop it. And so I don't know. I'm going to propose a question early on before we get to response. I don't know in each of your lives what seems like is ruined, okay? But we see this process of ruined walls, ruined rubble, going from rubble to restored and finished. I don't know in your life what looks that way. Maybe it's you. Maybe you feel like the rubble. I've been there. Maybe it's your marriage like it was mine and his. Maybe it's relationships with your children. Or maybe even God has called you to rebuild some ruins. Maybe he's given you a ministry assignment. Maybe the rubble just looks too great. It looks like it's just too great of a work, and maybe it is an actual ministry assignment. And in this season with us, everything that could be shaken, it was shaken. So that which could not be shaken, which is Christ Jesus, remained. And I feel like my testimony, y'all, my life testimony is Psalm 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, and he established my steps, and he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Can I tell you all how I used to praise? And I don't mean any disrespect to anyone. I'm just telling you my personal journey. I used to just praise and just sing, and you know, I'd love to sing and love to praise the Lord. And then I went through something. and then God put a new praise in my mouth, and he put a new song in my mouth, to where I was like, my God, I've not just, like Job says, he said, my ear has heard of you, but now my eyes see you. I'd known and heard about the Lord my whole life, but when I went through something, my affliction, amen, that's when I encountered God. That's when I'm like, man, I've been in that place where I've been in the miry clay, and he's picked me up, and he's put my feet on solid ground, and he's put a new song in my mouth. And so now I can't help but praise him. Now I can't help but testify about him. Now I can't help but tell my friends and coworkers about this man named Jesus that changed my life. And let me tell you something about the world. The world is looking for real. They are done with our stuff we try to do. They are looking for the real Jesus. There's real people with real problems looking for the real Jesus. And I'm thankful we know the real Jesus. In other words, we've got the real solution. In other words, he really does heal. He really does bind up broken hearts. He really does give joy for mourning. He really does give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This Jesus, this man named Jesus, I was saved at 4 years old. I've been serving him my whole life, not perfectly, but I've been serving him my whole life. And this man named Jesus, he just keeps continuing to encounter me, testimony after testimony. And like that song we just sang, if all you speak to me in one is one word. That's enough. The greatest prize is your love. The greatest prize is Jesus. Just to know this man named Jesus, but still he's just good. So he continues to bless and he continues to give testimony after testimony after testimony. So I share with you this today to say I've seen brokenness. I've seen the rubble. I've seen the pit. And I am a living, breathing testimony of the restoration of God. Me and him both are. He is a And so I don't know in your life what, maybe it's those things, maybe he's given you an assignment, but if you will stay on the rock like a wise man does and be a hearer of the word and doer, then he will restore. And a couple things I just want to share real quick. The hardest parts of the restoration process is number one, I think, the crumbling. It's when everything first just crumbles. And if you know what I'm talking about, you just know what I'm talking about. It's when life hits. It's when things, the bottom beneath feels like it just falls out. Anybody been there? Just me? Okay, well, good. Okay, I'm in good company. When the bottom falls out, and then, y'all know, there's a bottom sometimes to the bottom. Then a bottom to that bottom. And it's like, okay, Lord. But see, every fall, everything, there is a rock there. So it's that is the hardest. But here's the thing. Sometimes after that process, God starts to do some things, right? Starts to turn it around just a little bit. That part is not the hardest part of restoration. That's when it's easy. That's when it's, and so whatever that is for you that I said, ministry assignment, maybe it's you, maybe it's your marriage. God starts to rebuild some things. That's when emotions are high. It's easy, right? God's going to do it. I've got faith. I see him turning it around. I see the cloud the size of a man's hand, right? That's when it's not then that it's hard. Here's when it's hard, and we see this in Nehemiah. It's when the walls are half up and you're tired. You're not where you were, but you're also not yet where you're going. And then here comes old Sanballat. Here comes the enemy. What are they going to do, those feeble Jews? What are they going to think they're going to do? They're going to revive this rebel? They're going to restore things? They're going to, oh, I bet you a fox will get on those walls and the quality of it will just, it'll just crumble. It ain't going to be good for nothing. That's when the enemy comes. When you're tired. So it's right when things are starting to come together and here he comes. And you're spread thin. Here he comes. And that's, I feel led of the Lord with this message. I feel like some of you in the room today, I don't know exactly how. It might be marriage. It might be you. It might be this church. It might be a ministry assignment. I don't know what it is, but the walls are half up. They're half up. And you've seen a good work. And you know there's a great work. And you've seen God doing it. But the enemy has come along and he started to say some things. The resistance has come when you're tired. It's easy to quit those times when you're tired, when you're spread thin. So how do you stay on the wall to see the restoration? You continue being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. There were times in our marriage that it would have been easier to just quit because our wall of restoration required lots of forgiveness. I'd forgive one day and have to forgive 5 minutes later, and then maybe 1 minute later, and then the next day. And guess what? Forgiveness didn't, I didn't feel it. I had to choose it. Forgiveness is an act of your will. It's choosing to obey the word of God and forgive, not just feel it and then forgive. Your feelings catch up later. You got to choose to forgive. So I had to forgive. We had to surrender. We had to have healing. There had to be trust rebuilt. Forgiveness is grace, but trust is built. So it would have been easier to quit. But God told me, he said, Megan, he said, if you will stay, I'm going to work on him, and he's going to work on me too. And he said, you will be, and this is for the glory of God, this is him. He said, you will be a beacon of hope of what my restoration can do. So it came down to me, I'll be with you, Megan, but do you want to see my glory? Do you want to see the glory? Do you want to see the restoration? And so honestly, y'all, I have to give credit to the Lord and probably my parents too. I don't know how I stayed other than the grace of God and seeds being planted in me from birth, basically. Like I said, I got saved around 4 or 5 years old. The fact that God saved me early was divine. I don't have this big testimony of walking away, and I don't have this big testimony of messing everything up. I didn't do perfectly. But I'm like, man, God had, like, some of y'all that's got those great testimonies, and I think mine's boring. I'm like, think of how hard-headed I must be if God had to save me at four. What could have happened to me if he didn't save me at four? So it is the grace of God that has kept me, and it is the grace of God that has restored us. And so I want to read in Nehemiah chapter 4, and then we'll get Travis up here for his part, because I do believe the Lord wants to do something. So we see, I'm going to summarize 1 through 3 first. So Sanballat, which is represents the enemy, he heard they were rebuilding the wall. And that's what I mentioned when he said, uh-oh, you know, they're on their way to restoring what was ruined. They're on their way. They're on their way. We got to go stop this. So then I want you to pay attention, though, because we can learn some things here about the scheme of the enemy. He begins to attack their identity and their purpose. And so just to help us along this morning, again, just laying a foundation, I want to know, has anyone ever heard anything in here from the enemy about your past? Who you were? Okay? Anybody heard who you're not? That's what he comes with. Who you're not, what you're not going to do, and who you were. But the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. And we combat that with who we are in Christ. He attacked the quality of their work. Anybody ever told you're not good enough or the work wasn't good enough? Anybody ever been told before you even get started it's going to fail? Anybody been told you don't have a testimony? It's too good to be true. The bottom's going to fall out of it. I've been told all those things. But the devil is a liar. And here's the thing. God isn't looking for perfect. I had to figure that out. God is looking for willing, and he'll take those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he'll bless it and multiply it. He's just looking for you to bring what you have, and then he puts his blessing on it. He's just looking for you to bring what you have, and then he'll multiply it. He don't need perfect. He just needs willing. And then in verse 4 and 5, Nehemiah prayed. He prayed. That's important. Verse 6, he kept building. So what do you do when you don't know what to do, when it's hard, when the wall's half up? You trust God, you do good. You keep praying, you keep doing good. You trust God, you do good. You stay on the wall. You keep doing the word of the Lord. You walk by faith, not by sight. Even when you cannot see, you walk by faith. You keep being a doer of the word of God. And so we've got to make up our minds that we're going to remain on the wall. Verse 6 said that the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. And some translations talk about having a heart and a mind to work. They had a mind to work. So if God said it, I'm just here to remind somebody with some encouragement. God said it, it will be, but you've got to remain on the word. You've got to remain on the assignment. You've got to remain on the wall. You've got to be obedient to see the restoration. See, people, we don't really think about that as restoration. God can and will restore, but we got to stay. We got to do that in part with his grace, right? His grace helps us stay, but we got to be obedient to stay and be a doer of the word like he says to be in the word of God. Because when the opposition comes, when Sanballat comes, when the rain comes, that house can stand and keep going. So they heard the taunts. They felt the taunts. They strategized with the taunts. They prayed with the taunts, but they still remained standing and they still kept building. In verse 7 and 8, the enemy gets even louder. Nehemiah prays again, but this time he sets a watch. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, it goes on to say in verse 9. So verse 14 says this, we're going to read this one out loud. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. This isn't in my notes, but I feel led of the Lord to remind us all this morning, the fight isn't for us. The fight is for your children. The fight is for your children's children and their children's children. And so if anything motivates me more as a mama bear to get in the fight and stay on my wall, it's to say, devil, you picked the wrong one. you picked the wrong one to come at my children, because I'll pray, I'll speak the word of the Lord, I'll stand on the word of the Lord, I'll get up in the wee hours of the night, I'll anoint them with oil, I'll tell the devil to get out and he's a liar. I'll go to war. How many know that? We'll go to war over our children. We'll go to war in the spirit over our grandchildren. So this fight, it's not about us. It's about what is to come. But there's some keys in what we just read. Nehemiah tells the people, don't be afraid of the enemy. So maybe you've heard the taunts I just mentioned, and it's actually stopped you or got you off the wall. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Instead, do this. Remember your God and fight. Remember your God and fight. How do you remember your God? You imprint him. You get him on your mind, his faithfulness. What has he done? Who is he? What has he promised? Remember your God, and then you take courage in your heart and you fight. So you remember your God, and then you remember your wall, and you fight. You remember your God, and you remember your calling, and you stand firm, and you fight. So how do you finish? He said the people had a mind to work. How do you finish? My little part is you stay on the wall. You keep being a doer of the word. You remember your God. You remember your call. And you keep going. And so I believe the Lord still has more for us today. Yes. There's a fire.
I believe God has a reminder for us today. It's easy to get wrapped up in labels. It's easy to get wrapped up in diagnoses, some things that slow us down. But labels can sometimes hold us captive. I don't know if you have ever been to a place to where you did really well at one point, and you got this diagnosis, and you slowed down. And I just feel like we're here as a reminder also to let you know that you are the head. You are not the tail. You are above. You are not beneath. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a living stone. A living stone. I believe God has something for us in this room today. I believe God is going to restore the years that you thought you were a useless stone. Does that make sense? That you were covered in dust, that you were burning the fire. There's good news today that the Lord has plucked us from that fire, and it's not for us to go back into a pile of rubble. The locust, tell the locust, you can't have another bite. You're not going to steal any more years from me. Just because some of us have been knocked down by trials and fiery furnaces does not mean that that's the place that we have to stay. Is everybody follow me right now? I woke up this morning, I said, Lord, what are we going to do here? What is going on? And I heard the Lord tell me there are two winds coming. And I want you to follow. I'm not going to try to get too prophetic, okay? If anybody here feels uncomfortable, let me know. Pastor, if everything's okay, give me a thumbs up. If not, just say, stop it. Okay, I will stick to it. But I heard two winds are coming, and one is alignment. Alignment in this sense is going to be we are getting out of the sand and we are getting on the rock. That's the alignment that we are going to have. And two, the second wind is going to revive these mountains. I believe that revival is coming to this area. I believe that this church is going to be used mightily. Matter of fact, I pray revival hits New Hope so fast that it spins our heads. How about that? I believe the Lord is going to do that. And all this is derived from a dream. Can I share a dream that I had with you? Is that okay? Okay. So in this dream, I heard a sound. I heard rain coming and I heard wind coming in this dream. And after I heard that, I actually got a visual of what was happening, and I seen houses just built on the sand, house after house after house after house. And I heard this wind coming and this rain coming, and then I would just see house fall, house fall, house fall, house fall. And then these people that are in these houses would just, this is like a normal occurrence to them. It's like the rain comes, the wind comes, the house comes, and the same people just, they pick up windows, they pick up doors, they pick up lumber, they walk further down the beach. This is a better place. And they build again with the same windows, same doors, same lumber. It's the same thing in a different place on the sand. But there's more to the dream. I also seen a group of people that wouldn't just keep doing that. They've done it too much. They've been building too much, and they would come out of the sand with empty hands. They don't have any more windows. They don't have any more doors. They don't have any more 2x4s. And they're walking out of the sand and they find the rock. How many knows the rock is where we need to be at? We need to be on the rock. And so I want to give a little bit of revelation to what some of this means that's come after some prayer. So the windows in this dream for me represented distractions allowed through the eyes, the visual sin that we allow, that we've not cut off, that we're still entangled in. The doors represent different gates, ears, mind, heart, distractions that come before the pursuit of God. How many in here is guilty of following the world before the pursuit of God? It's easy. It's a world, and I do it too. Lord, forgive me, right? The wood represents human will and understanding. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Praise God. I believe, and I felt led to share that with you because I heard that this morning. And I've seen a couple faces that was in my dream in this room. And those faces are the ones that come out with their hands empty and says, God, I'm just done. I'm not going to go this way anymore. I'm believing that God is going to just bring some people out and reassure them on the rock. And I'm so thankful that Megan read Matthew 7:24, right? So I don't have to read that. We all understand what that dream is. So let's just go on to what the message is. Are we going too long? Are we okay? We're doing all right? How many in here is thankful for their affliction? How many people in here is thankful that God has brought them out of a place that you didn't like being there, but that place was necessary for you? I have been in places to where it was necessary for me to be there because I would not realize that I am spiritually poor. I have a great need for God. There's only one thing and one source that is going to be good in my life, and that is God. If I'm in control of it, I will fall on my face every time. I will. If it's in my will, if it's in my way, if it's in my understanding, it is going to fall flat. It's on my face. It's done for. So I'm so thankful that God pulled me out of the sand, just like Megan was talking about, pulled me out of the miry clay. He turned me around. He picked me up. He put my feet on a firm foundation. And that's where we get to Nehemiah. And I love it. Whenever I said, you are a living stone, say, you're a living stone. This is good. And the enemy comes to taunt, right? That's what Megan was talking about. He says, can they revive these stones? They're being sarcastic and mocking, right? Can these stones be revived, even though they're dusty, they're in a rubble, and they're burnt? That's how the enemy likes to attack our minds. And this reminds me of, like the pastor was sharing with me this morning, will these bones live? It's the same type of phrase. And will these bones live? The guy says, only you know, Lord. But here we get an example that, yes, these rocks will live because you are living stones, right? So will these bones live? Yes, absolutely, these bones will live. Will these rocks live? Yes. You're not dead. You're not slumbering. You're in Christ. We just got to shake off some dust and get on the wall. Are you following me? Lord, help me. And how do we do that, right? We do that by the word of our testimony. We overcome by the blood of Christ. The stones on the wall is a picture of us. We are living stones. I want you to get a visual image, a wall being built. We are living stones. And this is the most prophetic picture that you could probably think of if you would just try to follow along with me just for just a second. We're looking at a wall. It's being built. Here's 1 Peter 2:4-7. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Say, I'm not a stone of rubble, I am a living stone. The Bible says so. And also, I mean, and I'm not going to go into detail, but this is also a picture of salvation. Even this, the wall is a picture of salvation. It's like this once dead, once lost wall in rubble is now back to life and built in a new wall. When we look at our life, this is like an example of also salvation. But that's good news. That means no matter how dusty or how burnt you may feel, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. The truth is, if you are in Christ, you are a living stone, and there's still hope. If you have breath in your lungs, you have purpose, and you're going to come out stronger because of the fire that he plucked you out of. How many knows when you apply heat to stone, it gets a little tougher sometimes? It says it withstands the fire. We're not coming out the same, we're coming out stronger. We're not coming out with the same type of goal for our church and our vision. We're coming out with a different, stronger vision for where we're headed, for what we're building. Jesus, help me. Lord, guide me. We are living stones in one spirit. When Jesus prayed, he said, Father, basically his prayer was saying, as you and I are one, let them be one also. And you look at a wall and you look at stone upon stone upon stone upon stone. It's together. It's unity. It's one accord. That's the prayer. It's an image of a prayer that he had for us. It's for us to be together. It's not solo mission. It's not Travis and Megan saving the world. It's not pastor saving the world. It's us body in unity with a chief cornerstone as the head. Has anybody ever tried to build a wall without a cornerstone? I mean, we got laser levels now. They didn't have them then. You had to have a cornerstone. You had to drop it in there, and it would give you something perfect to go off of. We're not perfect in ourselves, but we are called to be in unity with one another. I'm going to go to Ephesians. Let's read there. Let me go find it here. Jesus, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away. Who's felt far away in here before? And peace to those who were near. So you, both of you get peace. Whether you feel far away or you feel near, you both get peace. That's good news. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So we are growing together as a body of Christ into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also, so this is in addition to, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You're being built. I'm being built. This is good news that we're not just starting at a place that's plateaued and this is all it's ever going to be. We're being built. That means more is coming. Jesus, how many is thankful today that we are being built together into unity? And all of this right here, I mean, this is good news. You're going to be revived. The stones will live. The wall will be built. We are going to be together, and we're going to be growing together. That's good news. But without the cross, without Jesus at the center of our hearts, without him paying the price, dying, being resurrected, man, this is just pointless. What are we doing here? The fact is, the grave is empty. Come on, somebody. The tomb is empty. The stone was rolled away and there was nothing in it. My God. If you don't, here's some good news. And I believe the Bible says this. When you're feeling bad and you're feeling down, I think it does two things, though. I've had it said to me, and I didn't think it was good news. But Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back. The Bible says to cheer somebody up, let them know that Jesus is coming back. Now, that either does one or two things, man. That gets you excited and you are pumped up, or you're thinking, man, I need to work on some things because the King of Kings is coming back. Lord, help us. The good news is, if you've got breath, right, you have purpose. The Bible says you will live. It's not might live. In Christ you live. He gives you life and life abundantly. So I don't know if you're here today. Lord, help us. We got some music or something. I'm getting cotton mouth too, by the way. I'm not. What's up? Every time I get up here, it's like, you get fur mouth. Jesus, thank you, Lord. He paid the price that we deserve. Mercy was shown when Christ came. Mercy was shown to us. Grace was given to us. The Bible says that he took our sins and he cast them as far as the east from the west. Listen, I needed my sins cast as far as the east is from the west. I needed my sins buried in the sea of forgetfulness. That's the only reminder for me to not keep digging stuff up on myself. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been the lowest of lows. I've been caught up in addiction. I've been caught up in lying, manipulation. Basically, everything the Bible says that says you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, I'm guilty of. And my God, that when I read that, it just sent chills down my spine. It put a holy fear in me. Unless you repent. Thank God for repentance. I believe repentance is a gift. It's literally, I'm changing my mind from the current situation that I'm in. I'm not going to be a stone that just lays on the side dusty. I'm going to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. I'm going to carry the message of Christ who dwells in me. Jesus, help us. I'm so thankful for his grace and his mercy. I'm so thankful that there's good news. I'm so thankful that he doesn't remember all that stuff that I did anymore, that he sees me as a son. I'm so thankful for that. Does anybody in here have trouble finding identity and where they're at with Christ? Do you think he just looks at you and thinks, man, this guy, I don't know if he's going to barely make it. I mean, Lord, help me, right? Jesus, help us. Did you know all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved? It's not a might. It's I'm going to call on the Lord and he will save me from my current situation. He was wounded for our transgressions, right? His stripes for our healing. He was on the cross for our sins. I mean, each and every single area of our life, he took it on. I mean, that's hope. He died a death that I deserved. Maybe you're fighting a call today. Maybe you're fighting a call to step out and say, you know what, I'm going to add some more stones to this wall. Because this is like a picture of also the vineyard. It's we're adding stones to the walls. We are called to go out and work in the vineyard. To sow a seed, to get a harvest. And that's just another living stone on the wall. We are called to work in the kingdom. Each and every person here has a voice. And listen, you don't need some kind of crazy testimony. Megan was sharing about a testimony earlier. Listen, you don't need a crazy. You don't want a testimony like I have. You don't want it. It's painful. It hurts. You don't want to be in jail. You don't want to be locked up. You don't want to be in rehab. You don't want to be wondering if your marriage is going to make it. You don't want all that. What testimony I would love to hear? This is true. I just want to talk right now. I'm just being real. I'd love to hear a testimony of like a 40, 50-year-old man, right, that lives pretty good, has plenty of money, doesn't have a worry in this world, and just see him get radically changed for Jesus. You want to know why? He has all of his needs met. He really don't see that he has a need for Jesus. He don't have a hunger for the things of the Lord because he's not really experienced that brokenness. But my God, how awesome would it be just to see like 100 people in this area that has their life together that they think they do anyway, right? They think they have it all together. 40, 50-year-old men got, you know, just whatever, everything's working out. That's the kind of testimonies I want to. I don't want to see them go through the brokenness. I'd love to see just somebody who's made it in this world, right, and come out and say, man, I just need God. I realize that I'm spiritually poor and that I can't do this. That's what I desire to see.
No real testimony without
the brokenness. Right. Yeah. Jesus. Got to be a test. Thank you. So if you're here, and maybe you don't, I'm sure everybody does, maybe you don't know Christ today. Today's the day of salvation. Maybe you feel like you are useless, that you don't have a place, that you're of no use. Today is a day of restoration. And maybe you're fighting the call to gather more stones. We'd love to pray with you and encourage you in the Lord. And we are thankful to be here. And any needs that you have, I'd love the opportunity to pray with you in any kind of way. I'm so thankful for each and every person here. I pray that something in this message stuck with you, encouraged you, makes you want to go and build a wall for the kingdom of God, that makes you think, I don't have to sit on the side of a wall. I'm part of the wall. I'm a living stone with Christ as my cornerstone. That there's still hope, that we're not dead, and that labels do not define us, but the Lord God defines us, right? And I'm so thankful for each and every person here today. Thank you.
Jesus.
I waited and I waited upon you, Lord, and you bent over me and heard my cry. You brought me up from a dangerous pit, from a deep and miry clay. And you set my feet on rock to steady my way. Many will see it. Many will see it. Many will see and trust the Lord. Sing it over, many will see it, many will see it, many will see and trust the Lord. Blessed is the man who enjoys the Lord, who makes the Lord his trust, and does not turn to strange and lying ways. For I know, Lord, you will never withhold your sweet mercies from me. For your loving kindness will always preserve me.
Get ready to close. Two or three things I need to say. First of all, if you feel led to commit to any of the helping ministries for this event, see Travis and Megan after the service and put your name in the hat. If you would like to contribute financially to that ministry, Bruce's got a plate back there at the back, which we can provide cash donations or check donations. If you're writing a check, write it to Travis Hicks. And before they go, we need to do a couple of things. First of all, we need to pray for them, and I want to ask them to pray for us. So, come gather around, and let's go to the Lord in prayer.